9 months ago, I shared with you that one of my classmates was in hospital. And then I said that God's power for healing is available to all of us. And so I told you about my classmate, Mr. Heng. He was in hospital. He was getting worse and worse. And then one day, he told me, "When I come out, can you take care of my funeral?" Okay, I'm going to ask him to give a testimony shortly. And then I told you all, those who were in this church, I told my friend that he must not die, but that one day he must stand here and give glory to God. And I didn't know when. 1 year has passed since he was in hospital, chalking up a bill of $750,000. But today, that prophetic word is going to be fulfilled. He's the first time he's arrived. Now, Mr. Heng, can you come over? Can the mic, can you? okay, he has to wash himself, so he's coming shortly. So I'm going to invite him over. But, right, so maybe we just watch a video of an interview with him. Shall we watch it first?
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Heng, and I'm a London educated architect, and I have my own practice. Pastor Philip is my classmate for 60 over years.
So how do you land in hospital?
I fell down from my chair onto my bunk, thinking it's nothing serious, so I tried to get up. I couldn't. Prior to that, I was a normal person. Then I called my sister to call an ambulance, and they brought me to Tan Tock Seng Hospital. Mm.
So when they got to hospital, they did some tests on you. What did they discover?
Okay. First, they discovered I had chest infection. And then at the same time, a few weeks later, they have to reconfirm that I had blood cancer. They call it lymphoma. These two are the most life-threatening diseases, you know.
Well, when you discover that your condition was very serious?
Especially lymphoma, the doctor told me the chances of survival is only 20%. They couldn't treat my cancer first because they had to treat my chest infection. First 2 months, the doctor couldn't find out what bacteria that caused my chest infection. So after that, they discovered the two long bacteria. The doctor told me my survival rate is 20%, and I myself knows that I was in a serious life-threatening condition because I couldn't eat. For 5 months, they fed me milk through my nose, and I was always feeling cold. I need 3-4 blankets, doesn't solve the problem. So I need a heated blanket to keep me warm. I couldn't walk. Mm. My legs were frozen after 5 months. And that made me realize that my time was very short. So I called Pastor Philip. I asked him, if I come off, can you take care of my funeral arrangement? Pastor said that God won't allow me to die. You know, you have a purpose in the church. And if I survive, I got to give glory to God, you know. Yes. And it's not to my own determination. It's through the power and glory of God that heals me. You know, morning and every night, I pray to God to give me, to heal me, and to come into me. I was discharged in 7 March this year.
So what are the 5 areas you believe God healed you?
Yeah, first was my chest infection, which is a serious disease. Second was the discovery of my blood cancer. And third was the subsequent reinfection of my blood. And then the fourth one was the infection of my urine.
Oh.
Then COVID-19. Within these 5 months, I was in and out of ICU.
And today, can you walk?
Yeah, I can walk. Can even take bus and MRT, you know? Okay. Well, my testimony, I hope that you learn from me that the power of God, don't give up. Have faith. You know, God will help you and heal you.
I invite my classmate, Mr. Heng, to come up for just a couple of words. Can you? Yeah, can you come? Oh, now he can climb stairs. Yeah. But,
hello, okay. Yeah.
So, you couldn't walk at all during in the hospital was because you're... did you try to walk or not?
No, no matter how I tried, I couldn't walk because I was lying on bed for 5 months.
Yeah.
The physio tried to train me, so I got up. I took one step, two steps, I fell down.
Okay.
So it's how it was, you know.
Yes. So do you believe God healed you? Now today you can walk.
Yeah. Okay. God healed me. Christ has risen. I have risen.
Amen. Amen. And but when you were in hospital, how did you feel? Do you feel very depressed and you realize only you...
No. I didn't. I am a very positive person because I'm running my own architecture practice. So I never give up. But at times, you feel a bit disillusioned. But with the help of... You know, pastor came to visit me every week without fail. And he brought food, you know, and he taught me how to pray. So if all these things, I never feel like I'm going to fall off.
Yeah. So you believe God healed you?
Of course.
Give glory to Jesus.
Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Resurrection Sunday is not a theory. So what I want to tell you about is, first of all, there are 4 things that God's purpose in the resurrection. Maybe, have we got the verse of scripture for today? Let me introduce that verse if you have. All right. So in this verse, we're going to read from 1 Peter 1. The Bible says this, that we have a living hope. Can you see the big words? A living hope. So we have hope for the future, as we sang just now, because of the resurrection of Jesus. All right, that's the first thing I want to talk about. The second blessing that comes is the first part, which says a new birth. That gives us a new life. The resurrection enables us to have a new life and a new birth. The third blessing that comes to us in the last part says into an inheritance. So there are inheritance. Eternal inheritance. What are they? We'll talk about that in a short while. And lastly, kept in heaven for you. Underline the word heaven. You know, heaven is a place called Jesus' home. So there is a place in heaven because of the resurrection. So today we are celebrating the resurrection because of this four great blessings. We'll talk about that. But begin with the word inheritance. All right. A living hope and inheritance. First of all, that living hope and inheritance combined talks about hope for what? Hope for the power of God. So, one of the first things that comes to us, what kind of hope? Well, you have been hearing it the whole morning, is hope of healing. All right? People say, if you grow old, you'll sure get sick, and you'll be decrepit, and you can't walk, you get sick. Well, there is hope because there's healing through the resurrection. The power of Jesus is coming through his resurrection, can heal us. So you have heard of so many testimonies already. We don't have time to go into all the testimonies. But you have seen enough that God, through the resurrection, is real. So, now, what we are talking about is power. One of the first things that God gives us power to do in this hope is a new birth. All right. How do you get this new birth? The Bible says that God gives you power to become sons of God if you receive Him. If you receive Jesus, well, the Apostle John wrote these words. He said, when Jesus came down from heaven and became a man, He entered into the world, but the world did not recognize Him as the Son of God. But as many as believe in Him, who receive Him, He gives you the power to become sons of God. That's how, what do you mean by sons of God? Sons of God has to do with our relationship. Father and son. By the way, when the Bible says son, it's not talking about gender. It talks about daughters. Just son is father and son, or father and daughter is basically a relationship. So we enter into a new relationship when we tap into the power of the resurrection. In fact, the Bible clearly makes a statement that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, He is boss. If you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that means you believe in Jesus' resurrection, you will be saved. That means saved from what? Saved from judgment. All right. You'll be saved from eternal death. What is eternal death? Eternal death is separation from God. Forever. So, we can enter into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. Faith in what? A risen Christ. Not a dead Christ. You know, the Resurrection Sunday is only celebrated by Christians. Nobody else, no other philosophy or religion celebrates a person's resurrection from the dead. But some of you may be asked, when do we start celebrating Jesus' resurrection? Well, since 2,000 years ago. But 3,500 years ago, this is what happened. There's a prophecy. Can I have this, my video clip here? Can I put it on? Is it activated? Yeah, okay. All right. Let me enlarge this. Jesus rose again because there was a prophecy The first thing here is about prophecy. There was a prophecy, many prophecies in the Old Testament times that predicted Jesus was going to be crucified and on the third day he would rise from the dead. So, Jesus rising from the dead was not accidental. Jesus himself knew he would rise from the dead because he was very clear that he would conquer death. Jesus himself told the disciples even 1 week before he was crucified, he said, I'll be put to death, but on the third day, I will rise again. Maybe I have to take up. So, Jesus said, because of this, I will meet you in Galilee. So, Jesus made an appointment. So, when he rose from the dead, it was because he was very confident of conquering death. That's what gives us hope. Because Jesus was the only one who took out what the Bible calls the sting of death. So, on the third day. So in ancient times, 3,500 years ago, Moses wrote about a celebration. On this exact day, they were to celebrate what is called the Feast of First Fruit. Because Jesus was the first to rise from the dead. Now, why is this important? Have the disciples ever heard of people rising from the dead? Yes and no. They had seen three times when Jesus had raised the dead. One time it was a teenage girl called Jairus' daughter died and he just raised her from the dead. A second time he raised a friend of his called Lazarus. Lazarus was dead 4 days. And he went to the tomb and called out, and Lazarus came forth. At the third time, the disciples have seen how Jesus saw a funeral and a widow was crying and her son was dead. And Jesus said, put down the coffin, and he raised that young man to life. So the disciples have seen this. But the disciples have never seen Jesus himself dying, being buried, and then rising from the dead. They could not believe this. They've never seen the one who had on his own overcome death. But Jesus told them many times. So there was a prophecy. Now you may ask, how do I know that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, Jesus also there are many evidences. So let me give you a quick rundown of the evidence why we say it is true that Jesus is alive today because he rose again from the dead. So the first thing is Jesus predicted it. The Old Testament predicted it. And that's why every time Paul wrote to the Christians, he said this, that it was transmitted to me, first of all, that Jesus would be crucified. He would die. And that he would be buried. And that he would rise again on the third day according to the scriptures. What does that mean? That means it was already predicted in the Old Testament that Jesus will overcome death. Now, that gives us hope. All right. How else do we know that this is true? Well, the guards guarded the tomb. You know, in those days, there are two kinds of burial. One kind of burial is a person who is, particularly if he's poor, they dig a hole in the ground and they will put the body in the ground and cover him up. That would be the normal way of burial. But a rich man, rich families will carve a cave into the rocks and then provide a stone door. And So the technical word is the word sepulcher. All right. It means a grave that is hewn into the rocks. So that's only for the wealthy people. So when Jesus was buried, a rich man called Joseph, who came from a town of Arimathea, offered his brand new cave, burial cave, and Jesus' body was put in there. And in those days, was the governor decided to put a seal over the stone door. A official seal, so that anybody who breaks that seal will have to suffer the pain of death. And then this grave was guarded by at least 17 soldiers. 16 guards, 4 each time. They take turns round the clock. And then there's a guard commander. So there are soldiers guarding that grave for the next 24 hours. And how do we know that Jesus rose? Because nobody could touch the grave. Then, later on, the disciples came to look at it after the soldiers had vacated it. Peter and John found the burial cloth. That means, you know, the Jewish way of burial is that when a person dies, they put strips of cotton cloth that wind around the whole body, and they put the herbs and the frankincense in between this winding, and there's 35 kilos of herbs being used upon Jesus. When Peter and John saw the cloth and the herbs, but the body was absent. So it is not that somebody removed the whole thing. Jesus' body was not there. It's called the empty tomb. It's all right? So the empty tomb is therefore an very important evidence that Jesus had risen. Empty tomb, but the burial cloth and the herbs, 35 kilos worth of herbs were still there. And during the 40 days, a lot of people saw him. And at least to a total of 500 people had seen Jesus. That's the fourth reason. The fifth reason is that people who are timid and fearful suddenly became courageous. People like Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. But when he met Jesus after the resurrection, he preached with boldness. They did not fear death. It was change. What about alternative reasons? Well, some alternative reasons, given by those who are against Jesus, failed to justify. They said, the disciples came and carried away the body. But you know, that couldn't happen because the burial cloth was still there. But it did confirm one thing, that even the enemies of Jesus declared that the body was no more there. So that is, in fact, an evidence, even from those who do not believe. Then the power, because Jesus is alive, there is power in his name. There is power. You know, if you use a dead man's name, it's no use. A person must be alive. So when Jesus rose again from the dead, the disciples could make use of the power that comes from the name of Jesus. You have heard this song that children often sing in Sunday school. We say, there is power. At the name of Jesus, every man shall bow. Okay. But in the name of Jesus, every demon must flee. So, there's power in the name of Jesus. When we pray about healing our friends here, those who have been healed, we are using the power of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is powerful because he enforces what we pray. So the name of Jesus is above every name. Every demon recognizes this name. Even our friend Daniel just now talked about that. His friend Cindy, who invited him here, and our elder Roland prayed for him. All right. Actually, Cindy had a problem one day. She and her husband gave me a call. They said, my maid is crawling on the ground like a snake. And she can't get up. She's behaving very strange. She couldn't do her work. So she crawls around everywhere, slides around in the house. Obviously, she was demonized. I mean, the maid. So Cindy and her husband called me and said, Pastor, can you come over and pray for our maid? Little did I know that this maid actually had 120 demons. It took me 5 days to clear up. And big ones, small ones come out very fast. Big ones took a longer time, took 5 days. And at the end of the fifth day, when the last demon was cast out, the maid got up, combed her hair, and made tea for us. So how did it happen? The name of Jesus. So it's a powerful name, you know, if you believe in it. If you don't believe it, it's not much use. So historians also confirm that there is such a thing as Jesus, and that he was buried. So historians like Josephus, Tacitus, all this, if you are interested in history. So the question is this, did Jesus rise from the dead? Definitely. The important thing is he's alive. A dead person cannot help us, cannot hear us, cannot talk to us. But the grave could not hold him because he is the Son of God. But he took upon himself a form of a man. He became a man. So the ancient historians, the prophets wrote, Prophet Michael wrote that the day will come when the Son of God will come and be born in Bethlehem. But, the prophet wrote, his origins are from ancient times. That is Hebrew way of saying he existed in eternity. He has no beginning. He is God the Son. But he'll come in human flesh and be born in Bethlehem. Now, 4,000 years ago, God predicted using a prophetic act. It was Abraham, 4,000 years ago, was told to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him on a mount called Mount Moriah. This is a prophetic act because Abraham was trying, God wanted him to show that what God was going to do, that he would sacrifice his son. So Abraham didn't know this, so when he brought his son, he thought he would lose his son. But at that last moment before Abraham plunged the knife into his son, what happened? God spoke through an angel and said, stop! And God provided a substitute for his son. A substitute was a lamb, a ram. So that story is God's story. It's about Jesus. Same place, same day, same time. God was going to do this when Jesus died on Mount Moriah. The modern word is called Golgotha. No mistake about this place. It's shaped like a shape of a skull. Jesus was crucified right that place at the right time. At the right, exactly, he had to die at exactly 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's why Paul said, according to the scriptures. So Jesus rose again according to the scriptures too, because the psalmist said that his grave will not hold him. His body will not decay. And that's called the first resurrection. Why is this very important? Because no one can enter into heaven unless Jesus bring us in. That's why the fourth thing that God has blessed us with, a place in heaven. Do you know that nobody could go into heaven? Not Moses, not Abraham. All the saints of old had to go to a parking area. And only after Jesus rose from the dead, then he brought them in. Then he opened the gate. That's why Jesus said, I'm the door. You know, Jesus is the only one that can open the gate for us. And that's why resurrection was very important. And because he resurrected from the dead, he opened the gate, and today you and I can come through the gate, provided you come by faith. So that's why it's a living hope. It's living hope, not a dead hope, not something that happened in the ancient past. It's only to do with the Jews, Peter, Andrew, James, Paul. No, no, no. It's also for us. So today what I want you to know is a living hope, because what's our hope? We can enter into heaven. So the last phrase in this verse says that it's kept in heaven. Now, heaven is real only because Jesus rose from the dead. Before Jesus was crucified, he explained it this way about this place of heaven. He said that heaven is my Father's house and also his house. So, I'm going to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. After he rose from the dead, he said, what I'm going to do, I'll prepare a place for you in heaven. And one day I'll come and I'll bring you to my home. Now, it's very important that Jesus said, I am the way to the home. It's not some religious activity. It is Jesus the way. How do you get into heaven? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way. So you want to get to heaven? Follow me. I'm the way. I call myself a young Buddhist when I heard this message proclaimed that Jesus is the only way. At first I thought to myself, well, I think I'm also a good person because I'm a good Buddhist. But then I realized Jesus said, no. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus said he's the only way into his heaven. He has to lead the way. So the big benefit is this. Jesus prepared a place in heaven for you and me. But it's very simple. He said, if you just follow me, you just exercise faith in my promise, if you just obey me, you walk with me, have a relationship with me, what we call a covenant relationship. That means I will be loyal to Jesus and Jesus loves me. I will pledge my allegiance to Jesus, and whatever he says, whatever his instructions, I will follow, because he's the way. And I come by faith. So we have a place in heaven God has prepared for everyone who is willing to exercise a little bit of faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty. Do you know when Jesus died on the cross, he took away three very important problems we can never solve on our own. Number one, he took away eternal death, because we all deserve eternal separation from God and we will end in hell, a lake of fire, because we are sinners. We are all sinners. But according to this verse we just read, but God has mercy on us. That means He pities us. He has grace extended to us. And because of this, He is willing to forgive us on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice. That's the first thing that was achieved on the cross. The second thing that Jesus achieved on the cross was He took away our curse. Do you know, all of us may not realize it, but we grow up from a bloodline and ancestors that carries some curses. Curses are being activated by mainly demonic spirits. So, how do you get rid of this curse? Well, you say, Pastor, how do I know there are curses? Well, there are seven key indicators. You know, you are under a curse. One is that you always face accidents. Some people find that their legs are broken, always the same leg. Leg problem all the time. Every time there's accidents, very frequent accidents, we call it accident proneness. Second, we know there is a curse if you work so hard but you always produce nothing. Unproductive. You work harder than other people, but you produce nothing, unproductive. Third, they will know there is a curse because of chronic sickness. That means you, no matter what you do, you keep on getting sick. And it repeats again and again. And it can be cancer, it can be anything. But it happens again and again. You're always sick. Or you got sickness. This morning, I believe Jesus has dealt with sickness. So I sense there are some here who, someone here with a pancreatic problem, sickness. At the end of the service, please come. We want to pray for you. There's somebody here who has been having insomnia problems. You try to sleep, but it's a problem getting sleep. There's somebody here with a thyroid problem. That affects your growth. And the other word that I received is what we call gastric problem. Stomach is very painful and you have to take medication. So if you got any form of gastritis or stomach problem later, please come. We'll pray for you. So, but back problem is one of the most common. If you got a back problem, please come afterwards. The elders will pray for you. So there are sicknesses, but the power is, the Bible says, by His stripes, by the stripes He received when He hung up before He went up to the cross, by His stripes, we are healed. All right? So He solved the problem of the healing, the problem of curse sometimes related to health problems. Can be financial, always short on money. No matter how much you earn, you just not enough to pay all the bills. So this is a curse problem instead of blessing. And lastly, Jesus took away the sting of death. Do you know the sting of death means that there is fear of death, there is premature death, or anything to do with death. Or when you sleep, you are thinking of death. Or there's a fear of death. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, once and for all, He dealt with death problems. God, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, and because He rose again from the dead, we have a great future. We, at the time of physical death, it's like crossing from one room to another room. Jesus will be there. I remember talking to my mother, and she was already 86 years old. And one day, I asked the Lord about her problem, and the word I received, I got a picture of a staircase that goes to nowhere. 14 steps. I saw the numbers. 1 to 14. And I asked the Lord, what does this mean? And what I heard was, your mother has finished her work. In 14 days, she'll be going to heaven. So, exactly on the 14th day, morning, 10 o'clock, she sat up on the bed. She was staying with my sister. My sister was there. And she just lifted up her hands like an angel was coming to take her. And then she was gone. But we are not going to a future that is unknown. That's why there's a living hope. It is a famous, world-famous cardiologist called Maurice, who is a... he specialized in heart surgery. And after dealing with heart patients, he observed one thing. He was a non-believer. And so he observed two distinct differences. He saw that those who are Christians, when they died, they had a peaceful face. They happily went. But he discovered that those who did not know Jesus had a terrifying time when they died. You know, heart cases, you either survive or you go. There's nothing in between, right? And so one day he was treating one patient, testing him on the treadmill. And this guy, in the course of the test, collapsed. And then he did the CPR, you know, to try to pump his heart. And that guy recovered and opened his eyes. The moment he opened his eyes, he said, "Doctor, doctor, please help me." Doctor said, "Look, I'm helping you." Oh, his eyes, his hair was standing on end. His eyes were big with fear and horror. And then he became unconscious again. So the doctor keep on pressing on his chest. And he recovered the second time. This second time, he said, "Doctor, please help me." And so this time, he said, "I'm helping you. I'm trying my best." And then the guy lapsed into unconsciousness. Then after that, third time, during this, before the guy recovered for the third time, the doctor remembered when he was young in church, he knew that you can pray to Jesus and tell Jesus, "I believe that you died on the cross," and so he learned it in Sunday school, but he didn't believe it. But since this guy is so scared, he taught this man, he said, "Okay, if he recover this time, he asked me again, I'll teach him what I learned in Sunday school." So he tried. This man recovered the third time. On the third time he recovered, he said, "All right, you pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, say, Lord Jesus." He said, "Lord Jesus, I want to trust in you." He said, "Lord Jesus, I want to trust in you. If I were to die, I want to come to heaven." He said, "If I die, I will come to heaven. If I live, I'm going to serve you." So, "If I live, I'm going to serve you." Then, just a simple prayer. And the last part, he said, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you." And the man prayed, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you." Then suddenly he saw that this man's face, instead of big horror, there was peace. And then he laid back and he was gone. See, there is power in the resurrection of Jesus. But you need to exercise faith. Exercise faith in what? Exercise faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. He died for your sin. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Are you willing to believe? I've given you whatever evidence I could. we call it overwhelming evidence. In fact, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he said, there are many convincing proofs that Jesus rose from the dead. These are some of the, what I call logical proofs, evidences I've given you. Can you take this and believe? I mean, these are evidences. Faith in Jesus must be based on evidence. The first evidence you saw, the testimony of all these people who have come forward, is that Jesus is still alive today. The second way, I've given you all the testimony, I mean, the proofs that are, that we know in history. But the best proof that Jesus is alive is you test it yourself. So today what I'm going to invite you to do is this. That you talk to Jesus because he's alive. In fact, Jesus said, when you are gathered together, I'll be in your midst. I'll be in present. Yeah, you can't see him, but you'll know it if you just tell Jesus today, Lord Jesus, I trust in your finished work on the cross. You died for my sin. And you rose again from the dead. I've heard the evidences, and I'm willing to now invite you into my heart. That's all. Jesus said, any man who comes unto me, I will not cast him out. So today, why don't you just consider God's condition is exercise faith. Exercising faith means you declare you'll be faithful to Jesus. That you trust in what he has done. You trust on the evidences that are given that Jesus is alive. Because he's alive now, will you take the trouble to take the step, invite Jesus into your heart? Very simple. Just like that man who collapsed on the treadmill, he just prayed a simple prayer. That Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. That's all. Okay. So I'd like you to bow your heads right now and be quiet. And I like everyone to just talk to the Lord Jesus. He's here now. His spirit is here. That's what he says. And if you are new, you have never prayed this prayer, why don't you invite Jesus into your life and say, Lord Jesus, I now want to acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. I trust in your finished work on the cross when you died for my sin. I come by faith. Faith in the evidences that are given. Faith in your word. I wonder whether you can pray this prayer yourself. You talk to Jesus, he's here. And as with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you are one of those who just prayed this simple prayer to invite Jesus into your life, I like to count to three, and you just put up your hand quickly. We'll do it together. Put up your hand quickly, and you put it down at a count of three so that I can pray for you. So it's just to indicate to God who is here that you're willing to believe in Jesus. You're willing to trust him. You're willing to make him Lord in your life. So I'm going to count to three now. If you have had this indication in your heart, you have prayed this prayer, or you have this sensing that's what you like to do, I'm going to count to three. You just put up your hand and put it down. Okay. One, two, three. Can I see your hand? Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes, you can put it down. I believe there are those of you, I've just mentioned some of the ailments that I sense is present. So as we stand to sing this song, I'd like you to get up and come into the front. If you have indicate you want to walk with Jesus, you want to trust in Jesus, please come to my right-hand side. And those who need prayer, you can just step onto the left-hand side here. I'll pray and then we'll sing this song. Father, I just ask for faith to arise in each one of us. Faith in your precious promises. Let it arise in each one of us. Lord, whether it be Christian or non-Christian, that our faith in you will never be shaken. And we declare our allegiance to you, that you are the Lord and the Savior in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.